1 Corinthians chapter 4, he starts in verse 1, and he says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Well, the first thing you come across is ministers of Christ, and it says that we as preachers and pastors are stewards of the mysteries of God. And the faithfulness here, it says in verse 2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Faithfulness is something every Christian should strive for. Did you know that, yes, I am a minister of Christ? I'm not an apostle. I'm a pastor. But did you know that you are a steward? If you're saved this morning, a steward is someone who manages the affairs of others. They don't own anything themselves, but they manage what someone else owns. So it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." I think one of the most wonderful things a Christian can be taught is, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I don't own anything. God made me. God put me here. God gave me everything I have." You say, "I earned what I have with my own hard work and hands." God gave it to you. God gave you the ability to work. That's a wonderful truth. We have been put in trust with His merchandise. You say, "That's my wife." No, that's God gave me her. I'm to treat her the way God wants me to treat her. You say, "Those are my kids." Those are God's kids. God gave you those children to raise for Him. And I think we make a mistake when we say, "This is mine, but this is God's." It all belongs to God. And as a Christian, as a child of God, God says it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I am a steward of the mysteries of God. There are seven mysteries in the New Testament. That's not the lesson this morning. There are seven mysteries, things that were not revealed in the Old Testament that are revealed in the New Testament. Things like the blindness of Israel, Romans 11:25. Things like, what is another mystery? The rapture, the fact that any day the trump will sound and we'll go to be with Him. That's 1 Corinthians 15. The local New Testament church, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. That's a mystery. The indwelling of Christ in the body of the believer, that's a mystery. The growth of worldwide iniquity and sin and the Antichrist, that's a mystery. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. The incarnation and virgin birth of Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy 3:16. And the pagan religion of Islam, Revelation chapter 17, verse 5. Those are all mysteries that God said they weren't revealed in the Old Testament, but they're revealed in the New Testament. And God says, as a preacher, I've been made a steward of those mysteries. Yet, there are no more revelations now because the Bible is completed. There are no more apostles. There are no more revelations because the Bible is done. God finished it with the Apostle John and the book of Revelation. There's nothing more to be added to it. God is not revealing more truth. God has given us His truth in the Bible. If you have a King James Bible. If you have a different Bible, you got a Bible that's been played with, all right? You got a Bible that the devil was able to change, that the devil is changing. So be careful. But look at this. If you look at verse 2, 1 Corinthians 4:2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Require. If you look up the word require in a good old dictionary, and I use a Oxford 20-volume set. I think a good Webster's is good if it's before 1941 when they started changing definitions. If you look up definitions now in a modern dictionary, look up the word sin. It's not good. There's words you can't find because they're trying to change things. But look in a good old dictionary, the word required means demanded. "Moreover, it is required or demanded of stewards that a man be found faithful." I titled this morning's sermon, "What Does God Demand of Us?" God's demand of faithfulness. It's one thing when you say, "I'd like you to be faithful," or, "You know, you really need to be faithful." But it's another thing when God says, God requires or demands of us, those who stewards, saved people who've been put in charge of His merchandise, God says, "I demand that you be faithful. I demand that you be faithful." You see, the one generic requirement of a steward is faithfulness. The generic requirement of any steward. Whatever your calling is, you are to be faithful. What's the word faithful mean? Firm adherence to the truth and to the duties of religion. It means adherence to truth and the application of the truth in our life. Let me rephrase it. Let me make it easy to remember. Are you ready? What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is firm adherence to what you believe and how you behave. Two B words, right? Believe and behave. God says you are to be faithful to what you believe, and what we believe is supposed to be based in the Bible. So we're supposed to be faithful to the book, and then because of what God's Word teaches us, we're supposed to be faithful for how we behave and our lifestyle. Be faithful. You see, we're told to be faithful to the Word of God. Joshua 1:8, I'll have you turn here in just a second to you're in 1 Corinthians. I'll have you go to chapter 1 here in just a second. Just listen to me. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." We're supposed to be faithful to the Bible as a child of God. "This book of the law shall not depart, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Well, nighttime plus night, daytime plus nighttime equals what? All the time, right? That means I've never met somebody that reads their Bible too much. I hear about it. "Oh, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good." I'd love to meet someone like that before I die. And that's normally a cop out. "Oh, you're too spiritual." I've never met somebody that's too spiritual. I never met somebody that loved God too much. Okay? So God says we're to meditate and think about His Word all the time. Helps wash our mind. We're to be faithful to the truth. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Faithfulness revolves around the Word of God. Truth, the Word of God, never changes. Culture changes. Fashion changes. Languages change. Slang enters in. Truth, though, never, never changes. We should strive for faithfulness to the Word of God and what we believe because of the Word of God. The false teaching of the emergent church says that we're supposed to be culturally sensitive and change our beliefs with the times. That's wrong. God's Word is timeless. If alcohol was wrong in Jesus' time, then it's wrong now. It's a sin to drink booze. You say, "Is that your opinion?" That's God's Word. God says, "Don't look at it. Don't watch it." What were they always doing, the beer commercials? Show it, what? Pouring. God says it's a sin. If it was sin then, it's a sin now. If rock music was sinful then, it's sinful now. If adultery and fornication was wrong then, it's wrong now. God says so. We're to be faithful and we're to firmly adhere to the Word of God and our application of the Word of God to our lives. Look, faithfulness to God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, faithfulness to the Godhead. Faithfulness is supposed to be faithful. Well, first of all, I think when I say the word faithful, everybody knows you're supposed to be faithful to your spouse. You're supposed to firmly adhere to the vows you took. Till death do us part. You promised. You promised. You are to firmly adhere to that. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. We're to be faithful to our spouse. We're to be faithful to our family. We're to be faithful to our church. We're to be faithful to our ministry and where we serve. We're to be faithful to our employer. I love what my boss said. When I was a welder, he said, "When you come in, you have an agreement with me. When you punch in that time card, he said, "Your hours are mine." He said, "And when you punch out is when you leave." And he'd always look at us. He said, "After I make my $1 million, he said, "I'll give you the bonuses." And he did, too. But he said, "When you punch in, you're agreeing that you're going to work for me, and you do what you're told." And we did. He said, "You ever try to form a union on me?" He said, "I'm going to bankrupt the place and take my money and run." I like that. So we never tried to form a union on him. He treated us real good, okay? Be faithful to your employer. it's required. It's demanded of stewards, of a child of God, that we be faithful. You may not be talented, but you can be faithful. You may not have as quick a mind as someone else, but you can be faithful. You may not be as fast as someone else at a certain task, but you can be faithful. I may not win first place, but I can finish the race and I can be faithful. Amen? I can do what God's told me to do. I am so glad We all have the ability to do what God has commanded us to do. Faithfulness is what allows whatever talents and gifts we have to be used. Listen closely. Your dependability is your greatest ability. People that aren't faithful, that aren't dependable, that can't be relied upon, they say they're going to do something and they don't, they can't be used. And it's not because they're bad or evil people. They just aren't faithful. I've always heard this since I've been saved. My preacher would stand up and he'd say, your dependability is your greatest ability. Your ability to be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, and you're doing it because God wants you to do it. Now be faithful. Now be faithful. I remember as a young Christian, I'd been saved a year and a half. They gave me a job washing windows. And they said, your job is to wash every window in this. It was huge. I mean, windows. It was at the college. And they said, we'll take money off your bill if you do this. And I remember going around thinking, this was my prayer. Dear Lord, help me be faithful. I may not be the best, but Lord, they said, nobody washed the outside of the windows. I thought I was supposed to do that. They said, wash the windows. Other window washers just do the inside because they'd have to get up on a ladder on the outside of the building. Yeah, it was hard, but it didn't matter. Wash the windows. And I would pray, dear Lord, please help me to be faithful. Lord, I may not be as quick. Lord, I know I'm a dum-dum, but Lord, help me be faithful. Lord, please help me. It was a prayer of mine. It was a prayer of mine. Number one, I want you to think this morning, faithfulness is a characteristic, first of all, of the Godhead. Did you know Deuteronomy 7:9 says this? Just listen. Now therefore, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says this, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you. Hebrews 2:17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. It's talking about the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus. And I love this. As a matter of fact, you're there in 1 Corinthians, we're coming back there, but would you go to Revelation? Go to Revelation chapter 19. Watch this. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And I saw, Revelation, the last book in the Bible there, Revelation 19, look at verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. One of the names of the Lord Jesus is Faithful and True, and when he comes again, all I'm trying to tell you this morning is faithfulness is a quality of the Godhead. God is faithful. He is faithful. And if you're going to be godly, you have to be faithful. Godly means like God. Well, one of the first areas you start in is if God is faithful, then God tells me, He demands me to be faithful. And if I want to, I need to be, if I'm going to be godly, I need to be faithful. God does not vary from what He is. First of all, now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Watch this. God is faithful. I just want to show you a few things this morning about faithfulness. And if I show you the faithfulness of God and what God demands of us, then there's an application to it, and God teaches us by His faithfulness to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 7. We'll stop here at verse number 9, but watch this. 1 Corinthians 1:7, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. When Jesus saved you, He not only saved you, He's the one that keeps you saved. He's faithful. Someone said, and look, I've known some people, they struggle with knowing that they're saved, and I don't try to talk anybody into being saved, and I don't talk anybody out of being saved. But if you're struggling with it, my question to you is this. Can God save you? Yes, He can. Do you believe the Lord Jesus can save you? If you believe that, then you can believe He keeps you saved. Here it says He keeps you saved to the end. He says, verse 8 says, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? It's the judgment seat of Christ. One day when you face Him. When you stand before Him as a Christian, not as a lost person, as a Christian, and He says, this is what I did for you, what have you done for me because I saved you? God says, we'll be blameless. And I'm not wondering if I'm going to heaven. I know I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. And I said this morning, God is faithful concerning salvation. And God is not only the one that saves you, He's the one that keeps you saved when you're saved. I love, once saved, always saved. If saved, amen? And this easy believism stuff. To me, easy believism is carelessly dealing with people about salvation. I deal with every child like they're my own. I don't want my children flippantly dealt with salvation, and I'm very careful when I deal with a child. I'm very careful when I deal with anybody about getting saved. I'm very thorough. Whether they get saved or not, I don't make anybody get saved. That's their choice. That's their choice. But as far as somebody saying, knowing that you're saved, God is faithful, He saves you, and He keeps you saved to the end. I'd like you to turn, you're in 1 Corinthians, and once again, this is a little bit of a Bible study this morning, but would you go to Titus chapter 1, verse 2? Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Beautiful verses. God is faithful concerning salvation. Now the rest of these I'll read to you, but God is faithful concerning salvation. Look at Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Well, I don't... Titus 1:2, which God... I'll read it one more time. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie. Someone said, well, I don't know if I prayed the right prayer. A prayer doesn't save you. Has there been a time in your life when you saw what you are, a hell-deserving sinner, and you saw who He is, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you, was buried in a tomb, and rose again, and you saw you couldn't save yourself, and you asked Him to save you? If that is true, then God says He can't lie. He gave you eternal life when you asked Him. Well, I don't know if I prayed. There's only two sinners' prayers in the Bible. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, and Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's it. Doesn't sound like anything I've ever let anybody in. You're not saved by a prayer. You're saved by trusting Jesus as your Savior. That's what saves you. And if you've trusted Him as your Savior, then God says He cannot lie, and He's the one that keeps you saved. Look, isn't it goofy? People think you can lose your salvation. If you couldn't do anything to earn it before you got saved, how can you do anything to lose it after you get saved? Amen. If you couldn't earn it, you were dead before you got saved, spiritually. Now that you're saved, God says there's nothing you can do that'll cause you to lose it. I'm going to read to you. Just listen to me. God says we're kept by His power. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. John 10:27-29 says, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Look, if I let this coin represent me, watch. Bible says when you put your faith in Christ, you were put in the hand of Jesus. And then the Bible says, Jesus is in the Father's hand. Do you realize, if you're saved, for you to go to hell, the devil would have to be able to pry God's hand open and pry Jesus' hand open and take you out and throw you to hell. And that can't happen. No man can take you out of my hand. All I'm trying to tell you this morning is He's faithful concerning salvation. He's faithful to save you, and He's faithful to keep you saved. Once you're saved, He's faithful. God is also faithful concerning temptation. I know we started in 1 Corinthians. Would you go back to 1 Corinthians and look at chapter 10? I think this is a verse every Christian ought to have, every Christian ought to know, and every Christian ought to be associated with. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is all underneath one point. God is faithful. We're supposed to be faithful because God is faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them, the Old Testament saints, the Jews, Israel in the Old Testament, for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Be careful. You say all the Jews with them wandering in the wilderness and how God had to kill several of them and God had to spank them. Careful. No, we're not above that. Let if any man think he standeth, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, look at verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. I love this verse. We are not above the temptation that came to the Old Testament saints. As a matter of fact, if you think about this, watch me. Our temptations are threefold. Threefold strong. The devil, he's the god of this world, uses the world to tempt our flesh. He's in charge of the world. We've got the devil using the world to tempt our flesh. One, two, three. It's threefold. And sometimes it's strong, but it helps us to understand there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. What's that mean? Listen, it helps us to know that there is no unique temptation. There is no temptation that you're going to face that other Christians have not faced before you. Sometimes the devil, he discourages us by making us think we're fighting all alone. And he plays mind games with us. He'll throw fiery darts of doubt saying, you're the only one that's going through this. You can sin. It's okay. No one has hurt like you have hurt. No one. And he gets you feeling like you're isolated. You have a right to sin because nobody understands you. And that's the words he throws at you, right? There is no temptation taken us. There's nothing I will ever face that Christians before me have not faced. It helps me if I understand that. There is not a unique temptation. God will never allow us to be in a situation that is too heavy to allow us to handle the temptation successfully. God always makes a way for us to escape because He is faithful. Let me say it this way. Listen closely. God does not allow any of us to get into any situation where we are forced to sin. That's the best way I can phrase it. What'd you do that for? Well, I had to. No, you didn't. God's faithful, and He did give you a way out. You just didn't take it. Amen. Right? No, God's faithful. He gave you a way out. He made an exit door. But you chose not to take it. If you want victory over temptation, you can have it. Because 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, God is faithful. This is true about lust. It's true about gossip. It's true about bitterness. It's true about jealousy, anger, greed, all of it. A lot of trouble flees when you just lift up the name of Jesus and plead His blood over the temptation. A lot of temptation flees when you just start singing the praises of God. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. How about a simple one? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. It's wonderful. The temptations flee when you start lifting up the name of Jesus and start singing His praises. God's faithful. He makes a way out of temptations. God does not abandon us, as a matter of fact, to a condition of broken fellowship with Him. We're going to end this point here. I have three left, okay? At this point, all right? We're ending this point. That's a joke. Go to 1 John chapter 1, ready? 1 John chapter 1, ready? 1 John chapter 1. So God's faithful concerning salvation, God's faithful concerning temptation, and God's faithful concerning 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, we'll read this, concerning forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say, ready? 1 John, it's back there by Revelation. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look, God never abandons us to a condition of broken fellowship with Him. You know what confessing our sins does? God already knows we did it. When you confess your sin, you're saying, God, I agree with you. It was wrong. But you're not informing God of anything. God, I'm sorry I thought this. I'm sorry I said this. I'm sorry I did this and went there and did. God says, I know. I was waiting for you to confess it to me to tell me you agree with me that it's wrong. And that's a Christian that won't confess their sins. Guess what? They don't agree that it's wrong. Wasn't that bad. Come on. and we're full of justification, right? This is why I do this. God says He is faithful and just. Let me just ask you this morning, He's faithful to forgive if you confess your sins to Him. I'm so glad I don't have to go to a priest. That's nowhere in the Bible. Amen? I can go directly to Him. Directly to Him. Christian, when was the last time you confessed your sins to God? It's very important. It's not important. You're not supposed to confess them to me. Ever. You're supposed to confess them to God. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you took a list, you wrote it down, you said, God, I was wrong. I sinned. I'm sorry I did this. That's just you and the Lord. That's you and the Lord. And to be a happy Christian, to experience God's faithfulness and forgiveness, you have to do that. Otherwise, they just keep building up and you feel like, oh, then finally you start thinking, well, God doesn't love me. Then you start thinking, I mean, those are bad thoughts. Yes, God does love you. You just don't feel it. Do you understand? You don't feel like He loves you because of how you acted. But He always loves you. And He never stopped. He never stopped. He's faithful to forgive us. If you're going to be godly, you have to work at being faithful. God shows us what He demands of us. He shows us by His example of faithfulness. Number two, faithfulness is a characteristic of the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, just listen. The grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. The Bible is faithful. God says in Isaiah 55, 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. God's Word always accomplishes what it's setting forth to do. God says His Word is faithful. Number next. Can you believe how fast that point went? That was amazing. That was amazing. Okay, here we go. Number next. Many great Bible characters were faithful in the Bible. I'm not going to give you all the references. Moses was faithful. The Bible says so. King David was faithful. God says so. Hananiah. Abraham's heart was found faithful in the book of Nehemiah. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 2, Uriah and Zechariah were faithful. Daniel was faithful. Timothy was faithful. Tychicus, Epaphras, Onesimus, the Apostle Paul was faithful. Silvanus was faithful. Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, Antipas, a martyr, was faithful. My faithful martyr, Antipas. Who is he? The Romans would take the calf. It was a big brass bull and had a belly, and the belly would open up, and they would take the Christian, and Antipas is one of them. They did it many times, and the bull was braying, and its head was up like this, and its mouth was open, and they would light a fire under the bull, and then they would take the Christian and they would stuff them in the bull and then shut the door, and the screams and the smoke that came out of the bull's mouth was an offering to their pagan god. That's how he died. He was roasted alive in the theater, and God calls Antipas my faithful martyr, one who died for the Lord. Some of these people that I just mentioned are well known. Some aren't known at all. But all of them were faithful. Listen this morning, faithfulness is not for a select group of people. There's no one who's exempt from being faithful. It has nothing to do with schedule or preferences. It has everything to do with how you adhere to the Word of God. How you adhere to what it tells you and how to act. You are faithful or committed to what you think is important. Everybody's committed to something. This is America. Let me give you a wonderful thought, and I'd like you to think about it. In America, everybody does what they want to do. And then you find time when to do the rest. You know why you didn't read your Bible? Because you don't want to. No, I had too much to do. I promise you this, you did what you wanted. And the day it becomes a priority to you is the day you'll do it. Amen. I'm not being mean to you this morning. I'm trying to get you to think. You're not going to give an account to me one day. Aren't you glad? I'm just a pastor. I'm your preacher. I'm trying to help you this morning. One day you're going to stand before Him and He's going to say, I was faithful to you. What did you do for me? And all of us want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And no, I don't think everybody's going to hear that. praise God, if you're saved, you'll be in heaven. But no, I don't think everybody's going to hear. God does not have a special snowflake mentality. Do you understand? You're a special little snowflake. Everybody's a winner in heaven. Everybody gets first place. That only happens in the public school system. We don't want competition to warp their psyche. How are they going to face life? Every boy ought to know. You know why you lost? Because you're not good enough, that's why. If you want to get better, go practice. Amen, that's good. That's capitalism. Amen, that's not communism. You're a special little snowflake. No, you didn't know. Everybody doesn't win first place. You only win first place. It goes to the one who works the hardest. And every athlete understands that. That's why I train. That's why I eat the way I do. That's why I dress the way I do. And that's why every man competes. That's why competition can be very, very healthy. And I find it very much in the Word of God. I don't find that type of stuff. Okay? Faithfulness. Every Christian is supposed to strive to be faithful. And number four, faithfulness has benefits. Can I show you one of my favorite verses? I love this. But before we go there, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You say, how do you be faithful, preacher? Listen closely. Find out what the Bible teaches. Adjust your priorities in your lifestyle and then stick with it. Stick with it. Find out what the Bible teaches. Look, nobody is instantly, you don't decide to be faithful and then you're instantly faithful. You're faithful to what God has shown you. You're not faithful to what God's shown me. You're faithful to what God, the Holy Ghost, has shown you since you've been saved. Find out what the Bible teaches on that aspect of life. How you raise your kids. What type of music you listen to. What type of crowd you're running with. Find out what God says and then adjust your behavior to fit what you said you believed. And then stick with it. Don't let nothing move you. I am a Christian. That was the plea before they put him to death in the Roman Colosseum. I am a Christian and there is no evil done among us. We can't worship the Roman Emperor. I am a Christian, and there is no evil done among us. You're an enemy of the state. You don't want to worship the Emperor. You're against the whole state. I am a Christian, and there is no evil done among us. 1 Corinthians 15, are you there? I wanted you to turn there. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 57. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 15, I think this verse ought to be marked in your Bible and you ought to go back and look at it. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's because we're saved. Now look at 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Look at the last verse. Therefore, because you're saved, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Find out what the Bible says about that issue and stand. That's how you start being faithful. I'm not faithful to an ambiguous, vague, undefinable object. I want to be faithful to what God tells me to do as His child. I saw it in the book. And now I've declared it, this is where I stand. I don't do that. I don't listen to that. I will not wear that. I do not. This is where I stand. That's faithfulness. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Faithfulness has benefits, and this is down, coming down to our last point here. Go to Proverbs 28, verse 20. While you go to Proverbs, right in the middle of your Bible, right after Psalms, while you go to Proverbs, I want to read you just a couple of things. Faithfulness has benefits. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. That's Psalm 31:23. You're going to Proverbs 28, verse 20. Psalm 101, verse 6 says, God says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. And look at Proverbs 28, verse 20. I hope you're there. Proverbs 28, 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. A faithful man shall abound with blessing. I wish you could just take that first part of that verse and say, I want to be faithful. I want God's blessing. And God only blesses faithfulness. God doesn't bless sporadic hit and miss Christianity. A faithful man abounds with blessing. Man's faithful to his wife for the years. I loved hearing one wife tell a husband, and he was just so happy. Honey, through the years, you've been faithful to me. You've never said to anybody else what you know I've done wrong. As far as where I've fallen short, you know, and everybody's got little things, you know, squeezing the toothpaste in the middle of the tube, you know, that's okay. The toilet paper's supposed to come over, not go behind, you know, all those little things that drive people nuts. Supposed to stay in the house, and I'm glad you're with me. But honey, you never told people your gripes about me. You were faithful to me. You didn't betray me. You didn't gripe about me to other people. She said, we've been married 36 years, and you've been faithful. Let me tell you something. That man, when he got told that by his wife, this verse applies. A faithful man abounds with blessings. He was thinking that. It pays to be faithful. I can go into any area. A faithful man aboundeth with blessings. Abound with blessings. And I've already told you, Matthew 25:21, we all want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm telling you this morning, faithfulness is an attribute of God. Faithfulness is something that is demanded of every Christian, and faithfulness has its benefits. God doesn't give influence to unfaithful people. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. What a humbling verse. I'm so thankful. I'll never forget when I surrendered, a missionary got up and he preached, and I went and came forward and surrendered my life, and I said, Lord, I'm no preacher, but Lord, I'd love to serve you full time. And I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And God, if there's anything, it just seemed to me like people were quitting everywhere. It's like this one was quitting, and these people don't go to church anymore, and this has happened. I said, dear God, it seems like people are quitting left and right. Lord, is there any room for me to serve you? And I remember, that's how come I went forward. I said, dear God, could I scrub toilets for you? Dear God, would you let me run a vacuum for you? Dear Lord, I'd love to be a help. Let me serve you. And the Lord counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And I remember when God called me to preach. I remember when God called me to pastor. And it's humbling. It's humbling. Can I just... You say, well, you're a pastor. And that's talking to... Wait a second. Do you know what I look for leadership in our church? I can only watch two things, everybody. It's none of my business what you do in your house, right? But however, I am watching church attendance. One day we're going to have deacons here. Someday. I can't make anybody a deacon. It's not based on your tithing record, amen? I've got to base it on church attendance and soul winning. I've got to see. I watch for who's faithful. And I'm watching. I don't think lower of you if you're not here. You're not on trial with me. I feel God sent you here. One, thank you for letting me preach to you. Amen? But second of all, I'm watching people grow in the Lord. And the only thing I can do, I have to use your faithfulness to determine what you can do in the church. And if you want to be a Sunday school teacher, I got to have you in church. If one day, I know being a deacon is very humbling and stuff, but we're going to have them someday. But I can't just pick anybody. So guess what I do? I watch church attendance and I watch who's going soul winning. It's all I can do. Who's trying? You understand? And then based on your faithfulness determines where you can serve in the local New Testament church. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I believe that's God's requirements for leadership. I don't care if it's a Sunday school teacher or a youth pastor. It doesn't make any difference. God counted me faithful. Now, let me wrap up this way. I said this morning, okay, preacher, I get it. God wants me to be faithful. How do I do it? Let me say it again. Find out what God says is true. Adjust your behavior and your priorities. Be faithful to it and don't change. Once you find out how to live by truth, then don't change. Learn truth from God's Word and stick to it. Learn how to practice truth and stick to it. For instance, I don't go soul winning because I'm a pastor. I go soul winning because God commands it. Amen. Well, you're the preacher. You're supposed to go soul winning. I think that's weak. I was going soul winning before I was ever called to preach. No, I go soul winning because God tells me to. I don't look at certain things in lust because God says it's wrong. I don't cuss because God says it's wrong. I don't listen to certain types of music because God says it's wrong. I'm not going to change on this because someone took a contemporary Christian music song and cleaned it up and then brings it into church or put Christian words to rock music. I'm not changing on that. I was saved out of that. I already know where that goes. No, we're not having contemporary Christian music in our church. I believe it displeases the Lord. I'm not changing because I found out what the Bible says on it. Take your Bible and real quickly, this is where we're all done. Go to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28. Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, the third book in your Bible. Look at chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19 and look at verse 28. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. You know why I'm not going to get a tattoo? Because God says don't. Amen. I don't. And watch this. I already know. If you got a tattoo before you were saved, I understand that. But a child of God? No. We're supposed to make our decisions because God tells us what to do and what not to do. And when I see in the Bible what God tells me to do, then I stick with it. I used to go soul winning with a man, and even on the hot days, bless his heart, he wore long sleeve shirts when he'd go soul winning. He was ashamed of the tattoos. And I said, it happened before you were saved, man. It's under the blood. I wanted to be an encouragement to him. Amen. I understand. But in this day and age, people are tattoo nuts. They're tattoo crazy. I'm amazed. I understand a lost person thinking that way. I do not understand a Christian thinking that way. God says, do not do that to your... These gauge things where they're like their earlobes are like getting bigger and bigger. Man, good grief. Man, before if they pierced their ear and then they took it out, at least the ear would grow. Now what happens? Well, I don't think I should take this tire wheel out of your ear and... Do your lobes hang low? Can you swing them to and fro? Can you tie them in a knot? Can you tie? I look at them and I think, dear Lord, I feel sorry for them. Amen. I feel sorry for them. They're hurting their body. And I thought, man, how do you deal with that? That'd probably take surgery or something. I don't know. All I'm saying is this. How come you don't go with the trends and how come you don't go with what the world says, wear your head this way and do this and hurt your body this way? I'm not glad Prince is dead. He's in hell today. Good grief. Never saw anybody dominate the news. Prince is dead. Prince is dead. That man was demonic. He was a vile individual. Prince is being cremated. He's in hell this morning. And I'm not glad about it. But he affected a whole generation. Made them all look like they ran into tackle boxes. Isn't that sad? Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? How can you take your body and hurt your body like that? All I'm saying is this morning, find out. How come you don't do certain things? Because I want to see in the Bible what God tells me is right. Then, I adjust my lifestyle to fit that. And then, I stay put. I want to be faithful to what God has taught me. What God has taught me. Christian, it is required of stewards, that's us, that a man be found faithful. Faithful. God demands faithful. Let's pray this morning. Father, please, I do ask that, Lord, you would please use the message this morning. I pray that, Lord, you would help us as we grow spiritually.